Thank you, Polina, so much for putting us on the stream. This is Julie Hewitt, the Chair Pro Tem of the Pacifica National Board. This is a meeting of February 2nd, 2023. It is 8:39 p.m. on the East Coast. We're not going to have our... Hang on one second. We're not going to have our Secretary Pro Tem with us here this evening. So I will go ahead and call the roll. Teresa Allen?
Present.
Adriana Casanave?
Present.
Jim Dingaman?
Here.
Fred Dodsworth? I'll come back around. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
I'm here, but just saying, Dixon comes before Dodsworth.
I make a really excellent point there. Thank you, Vanessa. We'll get that right the next time. Bill Foster?
Here.
Thank you. Bill's here. Sue Goodwin?
Present, but intermittently.
Understood. Heather Gray?
Here.
Heather's here. Donna Grimes? Donna's not going to join us this evening. Julie Hewitt, I'm here. Evelia Jones? All right. Ali Lexa?
Here.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
James McFadden?
Present.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Present. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Sean's here. Jim Sagerton? Jim Sagerton? Come back around. Sharon Salam?
I'm here.
Sharon's here. Aki Tanaka? Oh, Aki's not going to make it this evening. I'll come back to that. Beth Von Gunten?
Here.
Egberto Willis?
Here.
Okay, let me go back around. Fred Dodsworth?
That's me.
All right. Still no Avelia? Jim Sagerton? Are you here?
Here.
All right.
I'm here.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so the people not present this evening are Donna Grimes, Avelia Jones, and Aki Tanaka. And I most definitely heard from Donna and Aki, both involved trips to the hospital today or the day before, so that's why they won't be here this evening. And that's probably a good reason, or probably related to Avelia as well. Unclear. Anyway,
Madam Chair, Adriana.
Could I please just get all the way through the preliminary items?
Well,
thank
you. It's a point of order only, and I don't want to. I know that nobody wants to discuss the issue, but the point of order, I'm obligated to put it there, and you can decide in that point of order immediately, and I will not challenge you not to waste time, but the point of order need to be in the minutes, okay?
And except that I don't know what your point of order is yet.
My point of order is, and I shall send it to everybody, I hope that you receive it. I asked, like I said before, to immediately stop the sitting of the director that are not eligible to serve as 2023 PMB directors, because to be eligible to serve as director, you must be a delegate, as stated in Article 5, Board of Directors Foundation, Section 1, Board of Directors Eligibility. Some of the people called on this roll call are ineligible to serve because they are not delegate according to the Pacifica Foundation by law, Article 4, Delegate Section 8, term of office, term limit. Delegates are limited to a maximum of 6 consecutive years, after which they are replaced through an election or through the use of the runner-up. From the last certified election. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
This is beyond the point of order.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Someone, hang on. Someone inadvertently wasn't muted and asked someone unrelated to this meeting a question, and I muted them. So continue, okay. Adriana.
Yeah, that is my point of order, and I guide there everything, because the point of order means a breakage or some rules that are being broken. And I believe that the Pacifica Foundation bylaws are being broken. That's why I say that. And I just want to put it there like a point of order. Thank you. And I want your decision on that. That's it.
Yes, thank you. I'm ruling the point of order. Sorry. I'm ruling the point of order out of order, based on the, motions that the 2022 PNB passed. I believe the dates were October, or the original date was October 20th, 2022, on how we would proceed in face of the fact that we were unable to pay for elections in delegate elections, that is, in 2022. And so I'm going to rule it out of order. Thank you. Okay, so where I was in the preliminary items, and really, honestly, you know, it would be nice if we could get through the preliminary items without being interrupted by a point of order, because it just ruins the flow of the preliminary items. So the report out, there is no report out from the previous executive session, because there was no executive session at the January 31st, 2023 meeting of the PMB. The next item under preliminaries is excused absences. And the three excused, this is where I was, when, Adriana broke in, the three people not present are Donna Grimes, Avelia Jones, and Aki Tanaka. Can I get a motion to excuse the absences of those who are present?
No, moved. I second it.
Second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to approve those absences as excused? Hearing no objections, those absences are excused. Okay. Identifying timekeepers and recording secretary. Timekeepers, I need a timekeeper for people, and I'll just note that it doesn't always have to be the same people, folks, so others can volunteer. So I need a timekeeper for people.
I'll do it, Julie.
Okay, thank you, Heather. And I need a timekeeper for items. Anyone?
Okay, people, you're waiting me out. Anybody else?
Sounds like it's going to be Darlene. Okay. Thank you, Darlene. Yeah, ideally, I also need, because Aki is not present this evening, I need someone who would be willing to be the recording secretary. And I will obviously share the stuff that I've taken note of so far in this meeting with whoever that is.
Somebody take timekeeping and I'll do it.
Can I get somebody to take timekeeping?
I'm willing to take timekeeping.
Okay, so McFadden will be our items timekeeper and Darlene will be our recording secretary. Thank you, Darlene. Very much appreciated. Next up is agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. That's a 5-minute item. I'll read the rest of the agenda. Approving minutes, we don't have any. That was a 5-minute item. motion regarding elections of officers for the 2023 PMB. That's a 15-minute item. ED report and Q&A, I have a 30-minute item. Oh, and I see that I just put the parenthetical attached to the wrong item on the agenda, so I'm moving that. That's easily done. ED report and Q&A, that was a 30-minute item, sorry. General counsel report and Q&A, that's a 30-minute item. Unfinished business, new business, and then a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of, well, it should be way before 10:30 because there's not that much on the agenda. And then we have several items on the closed session portion of the agenda. I mean, I can read them out. Agenda approval for the executive session, confidential personnel matter discussion, executive ED report and Q&A, executive general counsel report and Q&A, unfinished business, new business, discuss what may be shared with LSBs in closed session, report out for kpftx.org, Verizon report, and adjourn at a time certain of midnight. I move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the agenda?
Madam Chair, Adriana.
Go ahead, Adriana.
That's just as a point of information. You know, I think that I'm one of the few people here with a huge disadvantage because I don't have any information, anything. I don't have any, I request, you know, contracts. I request a series of items that are absolutely necessary. Most of the people know it, but I don't. I mean, I'm feeling that I'm going into the system without knowing.
But thank you, Adriana. I understand, where you're coming from. I feel badly for you too. There are still just 24 hours in the day. I am a human being. I'm making no apologies for that. What I will say is I do not expect that we will cover anything that's terribly specific this evening so that you would need that information this evening. It is my goal to get that to you and all of the new directors. I am very sorry that I am sick and I couldn't do that for you and that I you know, had to put, we only met last 2 days ago. And in that time, I fixed up the non-disclosure and confidentiality agreement and got it sent out to everybody. I have not even had a chance to figure out whether we have a quorum's worth of directors who are, who have returned that so that we could even have a closed session this evening or not. So, I appreciate your point in all due time. Although technically that's not really a point about the agenda. Is there any further discussion about the agenda?
I move we accept the agenda.
Thank you, Fred. Any objections to accepting the agenda as drafted? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted.
What point of information?
Go ahead, Teresa.
I see that in the minutes it says approve minutes of NA.
Yeah, because I don't have any minutes that we shared with you all to be approved.
But someone in the chat said that Aki had sent out minutes. You want to just, I guess we could discuss it.
Okay. No, that's a good point. Okay.
I don't believe that was of Monday, Teresa.
I think that we received minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, folks. Technically speaking, you're supposed to be recognized by the chair. If there is a person who knows when Aki sent out minutes and could share that date, I would appreciate knowing when that is. Is there somebody who knows the answer to that question?
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
He sent it today. I have the minutes from him. I think that, no, some, I'm sorry, some yesterday and some today. I have it from Aki here.
Okay, hang on. Let me.
It's 6 a.m.
No, that's good enough. I'll look. Hang on 1 second.
February first, the first one, and the second one, let's see, that was at 11:44 p.m. and the second one today.
Yeah, yeah, understood. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so then we do have minutes to approve for today. I'm sorry, folks. I have the reason I didn't recognize minutes is that I have, okay, not literally a million, but I have a lot of emails with attachments today because people have been sending in their signed NDAs. And as I said, I'm sick. I didn't have time to look through all of those. And yes, Aki sent minutes from the January 26th meeting today. And so we have, minutes from January 26th. Is there any discussion of?
Julie, he also.
Yeah, go ahead, Darlene.
He also sent Mondays and the 26th. So it's the 26th and the 31st is the next line.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. So, the 27th. Ah, right. So, we do, thank you. So we do have minutes from three meetings. So one was Thursday the 26th, which is open and closed sessions of minutes. And we'll take care of the, executive session minutes in executive session. So there's one from the 26th and then there were closed session only minutes from the 27th. And there was open session only minutes from the 31st. So we have for open session minutes, the 26th and the 31st. Thank you all, for pointing that out.
Anna?
Madam Chair, may I be ready?
Hang on. I'd like a motion to, approve the minutes of,
so moved.
January 26th. Thank you. So moved. Is there a second?
Adriana, have a question?
Hang on, you can't ask a question unless we're in debate, and you can't.
Dividing the minutes, Madam Chair, because I cannot vote in minutes that I wasn't here. I want to vote for the 31st. I want to divide it one by one, then I can vote. Sorry.
Adriana. If you were paying careful attention just now, I said I would like a motion to approve the minutes of the 26th. And then I got a motion to approve the minutes of the 26th. So what would actually be most appropriate is for you to abstain in this particular
exactly.
item. And then I will get to, well, so that we don't have to have a discussion about this. You just wait till we get to the minutes of the 31st. Okay. The minutes of the 26th. I got it. Did I get a second? No, I didn't because Adriana interrupted. So
Teresa,
did I get a second for the motion? Thank you, Teresa. Is there any discussion of the minutes from the open session of January 26th? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to approving the minutes of January 26th?
Adriana will abstain. That's it.
Okay. Are there any objections other than Adriana's abstention? Hearing none, then the minutes of the 26th are approved. As always, it is the case that if anyone later finds something that they would like to correct about the minutes, they can always raise that in a future meeting, and we'll discuss it then. Okay, the minutes for January 31st. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of the 31st?
So moved.
Thank you. Fred, is there a second?
I will second. This is Teresa.
Thank you. Any discussion of the minutes of January 31st? Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to approving the minutes of the 31st as drafted? All right, we'll consider those minutes approved. All right, next item on the agenda. Find the agenda again. Next item on the agenda. Okay, so making.
Madam Chair, Adriana.
Next item on the agenda is the motion regarding the election of officers for the 2023 PNB.
Madam Chair, Adriana.
Yes,
we
Adriana.
Have the minutes of we received the 27, the minutes of the 27 too.
Yes. And
executive.
That is executive session only. And then we will also have executive session only, or not, the 27th was only an executive session.
Okay.
The minutes of the 26th, we will also have executive session, but we'll deal with that in executive session.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So we're moving on to item number 4, which is a motion regarding election of officers for the 2023 PNB. Folks, in the appendix, I drafted two versions of the motion. Let me explain the difference between the two versions of the motion. The reason I drafted two versions of the motion was because it was not clear whether, Terry Goodman, would be available and willing to serve as the teller for officers' elections. I heard back from him about 10 minutes before the meeting began that, in fact, he was available and willing to serve as the chair of tellers for the election of officers. And so the point is that until I heard back from Terry, I was not sure, and I needed to have a backup plan. And so the first motion is basically a motion that is how we would run the election of officers for the PNB using tellers. The second version of the motion is very similar, except that it is using, instead of using tellers, it would have been using OpaVote, which is software that you can use to run elections. The chief difference between what we can do with OpaVote and what we can do with tellers is with tellers you can have write-in candidates. With OpaVote you cannot. People are wondering whether there's a big difference about having or does it matter having write-in candidates or not. And our bylaws don't actually say that we say anything about requiring us to have the possibility of write-in candidates for officer elections. However, our bylaws say that we follow Robert's rules, and Robert's rules basically says, in effect, the members can vote for anybody who's eligible. And when it comes to chair and vice chair, that means any one of the 21 directors. The secretary, of course, is not limited to having to be a director. The other thing that Robert's rule says is that if you make a motion regarding nominations, such as a motion to close nominations, that motion would have to pass with a 2/3 vote. And so we could actually, so let me back up and say, if what we wanted to do was close nominations as of a certain date, that means anybody, you know, and I will open the floor shortly for, taking nominations, but, people can be nominated after that as long as our motion includes a date, you know, the last date by which people need to be nominated. And at that point, we could say, well, if that motion passed with a 2/3 vote, then we could actually use the OpaVote route. And that was going to be imperative. I'm agnostic, as to whether we have, used Terry Goodman and tellers and allow write-ins or, pass a 2/3 vote, you know, pass by a 2/3 vote, the OPA motion version of the motion. The only difference between the two is really just kind of who runs it. You still need somebody who we would call an officer elections manager to run the OPA vote. And that's just somebody who, you know, puts the names of the candidates into the OPA vote system and, you know, the email addresses of everybody, which is, you know, kind of does in effect what the tellers would do, except they don't actually count the votes because OpaVote does that for them. The other difference is between the two is that with a chair of tellers, there's a chair of tellers and a secondary teller, and they actually get to see who you vote for. With OpaVote, you know, not a soul gets to know who you voted for. So it's really the will of the body whether we go for using Terry Goodman or whether we use OpaVote. And that's basically the background behind those two things. What I'd like to do is pass one or the other of these motions before we move on to opening the floor for nominations. And again, people don't have to be nominated this evening. So now let me back up and say, that, you know, both versions of the motion, you know, include a set of dates. And, you know, once the body decides on, which one we want, I'm happy to read the motion. But, what I did was I listed the dates as something like, nominations must be submitted by February X, 2023. And then the ballots would be sent out by February X plus 2, 2023. And that the polls would close on February X plus 9. So a week. So everybody would have a week to vote. And so that's the same between both of the motions. So, here's the part where my cold's kicking in, and what we need to do is have a discussion basically about, you know, which pathway we would rather go. And, you know, cause we can't vote for both of these motions because it has us running the election two ways. So we have to pick one or the other. And so, I will start recognizing people that I see on the stack. I see Teresa, Vanessa, and Darlene. Go ahead, Teresa.
Madam Chair, I move that we go, that we elect our officers, but with tellers. So it was the motion number one. Do I need to fill in the dates?
We're going to have to fill in the date before we, so let me back up and say then, yes, we are going to need to fill in the dates, but before we can have more discussion, what we would need is a second for that motion.
Second.
Thank you, Fred. Okay. Yes. So I said February X, but frankly, people largely because I was incapable of making a decision when I did this. And so how long do people think is a reasonable period of time to, allow nominations to go through? Teresa, would you like to opine?
I guess I have a question, Madam Chair. Is it a problem if we just accept nominations tonight, or?
Well, it's not a problem other than the fact that we have three members not present this evening, and we ought to at least give them the chance to be able to nominate someone.
Okay, then I would say nominations up to Saturday the
4th?
Yes.
The 4th of February, and would that we send this motion out immediately to the PNB, saying that we will take nominations up until midnight on February the 4th and get it to the tellers by Monday. Yep. And 1 week from Monday, which will be the 13th.
So actually, okay, let me just ask you this. So do people feel like they need a full week? Because Terry Goodman, as a teller, likes for ballots to end on, balloting to end on a Friday night at midnight. And the reason why is because that gives him, the weekend, you know, and basically two full days on the weekend to be able to, you know, count votes. So would people be okay with if ballots went out on Monday, February 6th, if balloting closed by midnight on the 10th? That's not a full week. That's only five full days.
Sharon to the stack.
I got you, Sharon. Okay. So let me just, let me keep going with the stack. So Vanessa, you're up.
So is this the appropriate time to make nominations or not yet?
Let's wait a few minutes. Let's pass the motion about, you know, that just sets the parameters, and then we'll open the floor up for nominations, okay?
Okay, dope. All right, thank you.
Got it. Darlene?
I would prefer the mail ballot issue and the possible two-thirds vote at the meeting version. I have qualms about Terry Goodman after his intervention in the KPFK-LSB meeting and his decision about who was eligible and who was not.
Madam Chair.
And the PNB.
Adriana, please don't interrupt. Let Darlene
finish.
And
the PNB's role. So I have qualms about his partisanship.
Madam Chair, point of order, according to Robert Rule.
No,
of
there's
not. Hang on.
Robert Rule of Order, a point of order, can interrupt, Madam Chair. I'm very sorry. I can wait if you want me to wait. But that's why. Don't tell me, please. Don't tell me not to interrupt, because that is my right like a member. And you can tell me to wait, and I will.
Okay. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Adriana, what is your point of order?
Madam Chair, we know that we cannot mention names, please, and make disparaging comments in open session about people. We have enough lawsuits in this foundation. Please. Can we not name people?
Thank you, Adriana. Thank you. I will respond to Darlene's question, which is how I put it to Terry Goodman was we have used Terry Goodman for many years, I don't know how many, for elections for Pacifica. And I said, you know, given the recent debate, Terry's point was he was comfortable running an election as long as there wasn't any dispute. What he didn't want to have to do was hear from two different secretaries as to who they think are the people who are validly voting. And I reassured him that that would not happen here. As long as there is just one secretary who would give him the names of the members who were eligible to vote, he was fine with running the elections. Understood.
Thank you, Chair, and I do agree. Terry has been at our service for quite a long time and does a good turnaround. And I was so shocked at the situation at KPFK that I needed to speak up. Would the secretary that sends to Terry would be our pro tem secretary, Aki?
That is correct.
Thank you. I take my hand down and not voice any other opinion on how to do it.
Okay. Thank you. No, it's a valid question, which is why I, you know, posed it to Terry earlier. I believe it's Beth, then Fred, then Sharon, then Sagerton, then Teresa. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, so two quick questions. At least one of which you've pretty much responded to already, but just so that we're clear. So when you spoke to Mr. Goodman earlier, he says that he's willing to respect our current PNB roster as it is. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. And that the other question is that if ballots go out on Monday, would that mean then that nominations can be open until Sunday midnight?
No. They would close on, I think we just decided Saturday the 4th at midnight. Terry would need a little bit of time to turn the ballots around.
So,
you know,
populated
with the names.
Well, from my experience with him on 3 years worth of various elections at KPFK. Usually our elections are set in motion on a Sunday because that's when our LSB meetings are, and he sends out the ballots on a Monday. So I don't think that there's a technical problem in him pop, especially because these are relatively straightforward elections. It's not like multiple people running or many multiples of people running. And I would just like to suggest that, especially because the board is newly reconfigured and we don't know everyone yet and not everyone knows us, that it would be to our advantage to have even just that one other weekend day to check in with people and get to know each other and talk about what our options are. I think there's been so much else going on recently. We haven't had a lot of time to caucus, and it would, yeah, I think we would benefit from that extra day.
Great time on this item.
Yeah, thank you, McFadden. I'm just going to spit out one quick point because I'm worried about forgetting about it if I don't say it really quickly before I look for a motion to extend. My apologies, folks. What I really meant to put on the agenda for this evening also was a little everybody getting to know each other so that we would, you know, go around and each director would take, you know, a minute or so, 90 seconds, let's say, to introduce themselves and a little bit about their background so that every, you know, particularly for the new directors, to get to know who everybody else is. And so, okay. So obviously in my, you know, diminished brain power for my cold, I forgot to put that on the agenda. So we'll deal with that in just a moment. I still see a handful of stands on the stack. So can I get a motion to extend for, let's just say 10 minutes?
I move that we extend 5 minutes.
Second.
I move that we extend to finish the stack.
And it will take 5 minutes to exhaust the stack.
Maybe.
Point of information. Point of information. Avelia is now a member, is now present.
So Avelia has arrived. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please consider my second question.
I'm sorry, what was your second question, Beth?
To leave the nominations open until Sunday midnight.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that would be, changing the dates a little bit.
Slightly. Yeah, I wouldn't ask if I thought Terry would have a problem with it.
Okay, got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you. I think Sharon is next. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I like the Oprah vote. I think we should give people enough time who are not present to vote and to put in their desire to be voted for within the time frame. And that would also give people an opportunity within that time frame so that people could get to know one another and decide if they want to run, if they don't want to run, and whatever. And I think that eliminates a lot of the confusion with it, because there would be a machine watching the vote and everything would move a little bit more smoother.
Thanks, Sharon. I just want to make one clarifying point that in principle, the timing would be exactly the same, both methods, whether it's tellers or OPA vote, but, although we could change the timing, but point well taken.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, cause you had just said so that people could get to know one another. So I mentioned that piece so that people could get to know one another and see who they wanted for, and people who want to, staff vote or whatever would have an opportunity to do that also. And then we would still be able to go to the Oprah vote.
Yeah. Self-nominate, you meant, I think.
Yeah. Self-nominate.
Yes. Got it. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that. Sagerton.
Thank you. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to amend, actually, and suggest. First, I need to ask have a request for information, which is, are we meeting next week? I know that you haven't had an opportunity yet to put the future meetings out there, but are we meeting next week? And if so, what kind of meeting?
In principle, we are having a meeting next week, which we decided, I believe we decided on at Tuesday's meeting, because we have a disciplinary matter on the 9th, scheduled for the 9th. Whether we would also have an open session, we could also have an open session. Yes. I'm sorry. But I only half answered your question.
Okay. No, that's perfect. And I appreciate that. I do recall that we did do that. And I thank you for the reminder. I just checked KPFTX and I didn't see it. So I needed that
reminder.
It's not
there yet. You're right.
Yeah.
Point of information. We're 5 minutes over on this item and we haven't even voted on the extending it for 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. That's my cold. Okay. Were there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes?
Chair, I hate to do this, but I had actually intended to offer an amendment to extend it for 10 minutes. I don't think 5 minutes is going to do it with all the voting.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you. Okay. Any objections to the motion to extend for 10? Hearing none. We're extended for 10. Thank you, McFadden, for reminding me. Okay. So, Sagerton, were you done asking your questions?
No. So that was, I'm done asking the question, but then I wanted to go to my comments, which was, I think we need more time to make these nominations. And I'm going to suggest that we extend the time for nominations until the night of the meeting that we have on the 9th. That we then conduct the voting after that. I've been having discussions with people about nominations and, possible candidates, and it's going to be problematic to conclude that by Saturday, which is the day after tomorrow. So I'm moving to extend the nominations until the meeting on Thursday, the 9th. And actually at that meeting also have people able to nominate if they wish, and then go to the election after that.
Thank you, Sharon. And Beth, what did you just? Okay, got it.
That was a second.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so if, and I just want to be clear about this, if we're moving to extend to February 9th the nominations process, then what would happen is the ballots would go out by Saturday the 11th. And then, if we concluded voting on a Friday night, that would be, Friday the 17th. And then we would have new officers in place for the meeting on the 23rd, basically.
May I make one more point about that?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that we have a situation at KPFK that we're all familiar with. And that extended schedule would give us time to work that out, hopefully.
Yes, thank you. The original schedule that we were talking about a little bit ago that had balloting concluding on the 10th, would have gotten us to, wouldn't have produced officers for the meeting on the 9th, but it would have produced officers in time for the meeting on the 16th. But so, there's a difference, but not a dramatic difference there. Okay. So.
Question from the secretary.
Yes. Go ahead, Darlene.
James, Sagerton, can you put that schedule in the chat so it can be captured for the notes?
I'm sorry. I cannot. I'm on a phone.
Hang
Thank
on.
You, Chair.
2-9 for nominations, 2-11 for ballots go out, 2-17 for end of voting. Okay, I can't spell, but there you go, Darlene. Okay, so now what we have is a motion to amend on the floor that changes the dates from, well,
did you say that's a substitute motion?
I'm sorry, I don't, that's just one of the things my brain can't like think through right now, whether it's a substitute motion or a motion to amend.
Chair, may I speak?
Go ahead, James.
I think it's just changing the date, so it's just a motion to amend. If it was substantially changing it, it would be a substitution.
Thank you. Appreciate the fact that someone else's brain is working. Okay, so there's a motion to amend on the floor, which is changing the dates to February 9th for nominations, close of nominations, that is, and February 11th for the date by which ballots must be sent out, and February 17th by close of voting. Are there any objections to the motion to amend? Hearing none, we'll consider the motion amended. Okay, so now, that was the only thing that needed to be filled in on the motion using tellers. Okay, so now we still have a little bit of a stack. Sharon, I think I did call on you, but did you raise your or ask to be recognized again a second time?
No, I'm just waiting for the vote on the Oprah vote.
Got it. Okay. Ali Alexa, go ahead.
I'm sorry. My question was answered. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So at the moment, the motion that's on the floor is the motion, using, tellers with the dates that, Sagerton's motion to amend just included. And so technically speaking, what people should do is if they would vastly prefer the OPA vote route, you would vote no on this motion. If you don't really care, you can vote. Okay, so let me put it this way. If not enough people vote yes on this, then we'll go to the motion using OPA vote. Although the difference is that really we should vote on, technically speaking, we should vote on the OPA vote one first from the sense that, well, no, it would need to get a 2/3 majority. Sorry, I'm babbling. Let's go to vote on the, go ahead, Sagerton.
I was going to say, and I don't know if this is possible, if both motions are already on the floor, but I was going to say if we just voted to substitute OPA vote for the tellers vote in this motion, then we could just do it all in one operation.
Oh, thank you. That's an excellent point. They're not, both motions aren't technically on the floor. So that's, thank you for helping me.
So why don't I add, so moved.
So moved. Okay. Is there a second to Sagerton's, motion to amend?
Second.
Thank you, Sharon. I see Bessie
David
and go ahead,
Beth. Can I hear the amendment again? Sorry.
It's to basically substitute, instead of saying resolved that these officer elections shall be conducted, via electronic mail with names as tellers, it says, resolved that the elections shall be conducted via OPA vote with, and then unnamed person serving as the officer elections manager.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Hang on, there's a, there, Teresa, there's
I have
a,
my, I'm sorry. I'm confused. I had my hand up. I thought we were ready to vote. Now we're, and my motion had to do with a teller. I didn't mind the dates being changed. That sounds fine. But now we're changing from teller to OPA vote. And so now there's two factors in there. And I don't understand why we're suggesting, I haven't heard the arguments for why OPA is preferable to the teller. I thought we had resolved the fact that
we did.
He didn't, our teller.
We did not resolve that fact. I mean, in the following sense, we heard from some people, but it's not like the body voted on this. And I think what Sagerton just suggested, and this is an example of, again, I don't have 100% brain strength. And so I just crafted two versions of the motion and put them on the agenda. We can't vote for both of them. What Sagerton is suggesting is that we now vote on a motion to amend your motion that's the teller version. With these dates that have already been amended, if we amend the motion to substitute in the OPA vote phrasing, and then you either vote for it or against it. If you care about OPA vote, you vote for Sagerton's motion to amend. If you would rather go with tellers, then you would object. And when I ask for no, whether there are any objections, and then we go to a roll call vote, and then, you know, we'll find out whether we have the two-thirds vote or not. And if we don't have a two-thirds vote, then we're back to tellers, right? The vote to amend fails, and then we're back to and then we approve that motion, and then we're done. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I'm not quite understanding why we need two-thirds rather than just majority.
Oh, okay. I can explain the two-thirds part. The reason why is because with OPA vote, you cannot write in candidates on the ballot. When we set the ballot up, you know, it has to have names. There's no, you know, blank line for write-in. And so the reason that you have to do that, why we need a two-thirds vote, is because it includes the closing the nominations. I mean, technically speaking, closing nominations doesn't really matter if you allow write-in candidates, because somebody can still write somebody in. But you can't on OPA vote. And so that's why we need a two-thirds vote of the motion. It would have to pass with two-thirds vote, because that's what Robert's rule says.
We're in time on this item.
Point of information, Madam Chair, before voting.
We're not voting yet. Hang on.
We're at time on this item.
Still a stack, and we are at time at this item. So
we need to add 5 minutes.
Thank you, McFadden. And there was a second. Are there any objections to the motion to add 5 minutes? Okay. Hearing none. We're extended for 5 minutes. Okay.
It's a point of information, Madam Chair, Adriana.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't understand the second option, I don't know how you call it, but the second option. My question is, how that work is really, who is in charge? Who will know that? Is a system that work? You said that is somebody that will be, who will select the person that will do that, and how anonymous or how secret those ballots are.
Yeah. So here's the thing with OPA vote. So we need one person, and I would argue that it would be a neutral person. And what I would probably do is, you know, ask someone like a former PNB director who's not currently on the PNB, for example, to maybe be willing to serve as the officer elections manager. We need or we could get, you know, somebody who's like an LSB secretary or something like that, but somebody who's willing to set up the OPA vote, you know, set the vote up. And basically setting the vote up means populating the OPA vote software with the names of people who are running for each of the offices, which information they would get from the secretary pro tem, and then also the names, the email addresses of all the people who are eligible to vote. And so, I mean, it's as simple as that. It is fully anonymous. You know, that person can get the information from the system that's the report, you know, with the results of the voting once, balloting is concluded. But they would have, unlike the teller system where the tellers open our votes and they know who, you know, the teller people know who we voted for. Now they're conscientious, upstanding people who never, as far as I know, divulge, you know, who voted for who, but there's still that human interaction, right? And so the choice is, do you want to be able to have write-in candidates who can be written in at the last minute, even after nominations are closed, or do you want complete and full anonymity? That is really the choice that's before us. For complete and full anonymity, we're going to need to pass this amendment that Sagerton just put on the floor. We're going to need to pass it with a two-thirds vote. Okay.
I'm sorry, the last thing that I think that you, I didn't understood. Is any way that we can check if the people that were put there are the real voters or the one that need to vote? I don't know if you understand, if I can explain myself.
It's a secure system in the following sense. We will use your email address, you know, that you use for, you know, as being a PNB director. And what will happen is you will get an email from the OPA Vote organization that says, come hit our website and do your, and fill in your ballot. And only you can use that. Nobody else can. And so, and the system is secure in the sense it will make sure that each of us votes exactly one time, or not, I guess they can't force you to vote, but nobody can vote more than once, right? So, I mean, it's a secure system. It's, you know, these people are highly, we've used them for our LSB officer elections at WPFW. I mean, they've been in this business for a long time, and we can use them for free as long as we don't, you know, we don't have more than 25 people voting or more than 10 people nominated per office. So, and that was another important aspect because, you know, we don't have money to spend on these things. So, Beth, I see your hand.
Yes, a question. And, well, first I want to assert that I think that write-in votes are important, and because they are used and it can change the dynamic of the outcome. And so I thought that's what we were to be voting on, and I would support that. A question, though, I realized when when we discussed the current teller, I was satisfied with his response, but did you discuss, he always used an assistant teller, so.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I muted the person. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
We're at time with this item again. Move to extend 5 more minutes.
Is there a second? Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Okay, 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. So Terry always uses an assistant teller, which is wise, as a former precinct inspector for the local public elections. I understand the need to have more than one set of eyes on this. But historically, especially recently,
I'd like to tell you who we suggested, but I didn't have the time this evening to check in with that person. He suggested using Sarah Roos.
Okay. Yes, it does. It satisfies that concern. Thank you.
Teresa, your hand is up. Do you still have a question?
I'm just ready to vote.
Okay. So the amendment that's on the floor right now is the OPA vote. And so if you would prefer using tellers, vote no. And if you would prefer using OPA vote, vote yes. Okay. Darlene, is there any chance that you're prepared to take a roll call vote? Oh, hang on. Okay, good. Are there any objections to Sagerton's motion to amend to substitute OPA vote for tellers? Let's go to a roll call vote then. Darlene, go ahead.
Madam Chair, would you say one more time so everybody gets it what a yes and what a no is?
Yes. A yes for this motion to amend is to substitute OPA vote for tellers. So vote yes if you would prefer to use OPA vote, and vote no if you would prefer to use tellers.
No, if you would prefer to use tellers. Thank you very much.
Correct. Okay. So can we do the roll call vote then?
Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Adriana Casanave.
Pass.
Jim Dingman.
Yes.
Fred Dodsworth.
I'm going to hold off for a moment.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
William Foster Jr.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin.
He's excused.
Beg pardon.
No, Sue, go ahead.
That was Heather Gray?
Yes.
Donna Grimes?
Not
here? I didn't prepare that list. Okay. Okay. Julie Hewitt?
Call me at the end.
Okay. Avalia Jones?
No.
Ali Lexa?
I'm going to pass.
Marianne Martinez.
No.
James McFadden.
Yes.
Darlene Pagano votes no. Sean Rhodes.
E. Abstain.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Sharon Salam. Sharon, you're muted.
Pass for now.
Aki Tanaka is not here. Beth Von Gutten.
No.
And Egberto Willis.
No.
I'll go back. Adriana, you passed. Adriana, how do you vote?
I think that I vote no.
Okay.
Chair, point of information, please. I just want to make sure what yes and no means. The one that allows for putting names on the ballot is which one? Is that APA?
No, only names. Only names is OPA vote.
I'm sorry, write-ins.
No write-ins.
So no write-ins is OPA?
No write-ins for OPA vote. So if you want write-ins, vote no.
Oh, then I voted wrong. I need to change my vote from yes to no.
All right. Vanessa Dixon Briggs votes no. Let's see, who else passed? Fred Dodsworth.
I'm going to vote yes.
Julie Hewitt. Nope, you're right. I put you last. Ali Lexa. Ali, are you still here?
He's muted.
I said I'll abstain. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Hold on. Ali Lexa abstains. Who's left? Da, da, da. Sharon Salam.
No, I'll vote no.
Okay. And last, Julie Hewitt.
I'll abstain. Okay.
Nine no. Hold on, I'm getting the yeses now. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six yes, two abstentions. The vote Madam, of no passes.
Madam Chair, please, Secretary, can you check? Because I have five yes and 10 no's, but because that remember means, that we have somebody okay. that
one, joined. One, two, three, can, four.
Can you tell the
five,
name?
Five, six. I have six yes can and you tell nine no name? And two abstentions.
Can the you, names were already read out.
Can you tell the names, please?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they'll be in the minutes. The bottom line is the vote failed. And so the motion to amend to switch to OPA vote failed. So now what we have on the floor is the motion using the tellers. Are there, as amended with the dates that we already passed, are there any objections to the motion using tellers? Hearing none, the motion using tellers passes as amended. Okay. Okay. So, granted, we are at time on this item. I'm sure by now. And we did agree to take the nominations through February 9th. But I could, if you would like, I should open the floor for, can I get an extension for 5 minutes to open the floor for nominations? We may not need a whole 5 minutes for that, but can I get a motion?
Moved. Stand for 5 minutes.
Second. Thank you, Ali. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jim. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to add 5 minutes to take nominations from the floor? Hearing none, we'll do
no
that.
No objection.
Teresa, I see hands from Teresa, Ali, and Vanessa. Teresa, go ahead.
Are we doing chair first?
We can do whatever. I mean, people can, yes. I don't have a strong, let's start with chair then. Chair, vice chair, and secretary is what we're talking about here.
I have a point of information. I just want to know, I thought we were going to wait and do all of that later on so that people would get to know people before we start putting names in.
Well, that's my mistake because I forgot to add to the agenda something where we go around and, you know, let everybody introduce themselves. We really should.
We could do that now.
We could do that now. We would need a motion that would, a motion to extend for way more than 5 minutes though. To give everybody a chance to introduce themselves. I thank you, Sharon. Point well taken. Are there any objections to, how many of us are there? There are 20, extending for 30 minutes, which would basically be enough time to go around and have everybody introduce themselves for 90 seconds.
Chair, point of information.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
How much time does each person get so this doesn't go on forever?
90 seconds.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Any objections to the motion? Can I get a second for a motion to extend for? Thank you.
Second.
Any objections to the motion to extend for 30 minutes for everybody to introduce themselves? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Okay, so.
Billy, do you want me to time that? Do you want me to do the 90-second timers on the people, or do we have a separate timer for people?
Heather's the timer for people. You got that, Heather?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So let's go, let's just do this in the alphabetical order, and I'll get the alphabetical order right this time. I'll just call on people. Teresa, go, Alan, go ahead.
You're muted, Teresa.
Sorry. My name is Teresa Allen, and I have served on and off of the National Board for about 20 years, off and on. And when I'm not serving, even when I'm not serving on the boards, I am participating at the station. I find it very fulfilling. I have a degree in education and library science from the University of Missouri in Columbia. And I am particularly interested in affiliates and community radio in general. I have worked with some people to help start radio stations. I'm a humanist, and I believe that we can make change. And it's challenging, but it has been very fulfilling to have served on this Pacifica National Board. I'm finished.
Thanks, Teresa. Adriana?
My name is Adriana Casney. It will be so easy for all of you to recognize my voice because most people don't understand what I'm saying. That's why I write emails. Obviously, English is my second language, but I believe that it's not my brain. It's a problem of, you know, that's my vocal cords. I was a member before. I'm from Houston. I hear a lot of noises. I don't know why, Madam Chair. Okay. Teresa, maybe you are not muted. That's okay. I'm a small business owner. I'm a permaculturist. I don't know if anybody knows what permaculture is, but I'm a permaculturist. And I'm a fighter since ever for human rights. I believe that in Pacifica, I believe in Pacifica as a whole. I say that more than once. I believe that the five stations are like the five fingers in your hand. If you take one by one, they don't have any force. The five of us, we will. I believe that.
Adriana, your time is up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Jim Dingman's next.
Thank you. My name is Jim Dingman. I've been involved in governance issues in Pacifica since the early 1990s. And also worked as a producer at the station. I've been involved in journalism since the 1970s, both mainstream and alternative, both in print and broadcast. I've worked in television, mainstream and alternative. My thing is basically we have to take the stations and the whole foundation and have really radical change, make it relevant to the masses of Americans that we are not able to reach right now. And that's my mantra. We have to change the whole damn thing. And, you know, this opportunity to be on a board allows it. And, we have to work like hell to make sure that the whole foundation survives and thrives. Thank you.
Thanks. Next up is, Vanessa.
Okay. I am, Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I've been, off and on the LSB, probably starting in about 2012, 13, something like that. And on the PNB for the last 3 years, feels longer, 3 years, care deeply about this. And when I'm not doing this, which is a lot of time, this is what I'm doing. I've been a labor union representative for more than 20 years, healthcare advocate, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll save time so someone else can use the time I saved. Welcome to all the new people.
Fred, you're next.
I've been a journalist for more than 30 years. I'm currently running my own publishing company. I've managed large numbers of people, worked for major mainstream radio newspapers, and I actually wrote the article 20 years ago that saved the entire network and kept it from being sold in 2000. I'm on this because 25% of America is within the hearing range of our signals, and we are covering a embarrassingly small percentage of that, and there's no reason for this. I do have a lot of experience in both law and in managing businesses and in journalism, and I'm really hoping that being on this board can actually make a difference.
Did you mention your name?
Yeah, Fred Dodsworth. I was introduced by Julie Hewitt.
Sorry, I didn't say everybody's full name. I forget that not everybody can see the screen. I'll try to do that. William Foster Jr., an affiliate representative director. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, I'm Bill Foster, and I am in Montgomery, Alabama, and I often am in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I am the general manager and executive director of WUMO and Afro-M South, a nonprofit in Montgomery, Alabama. And I'm here to represent the affiliates. I believe in the necessity for community radio and particularly black-owned radio, which has taken a big hit in the past decade, and to try to be an advocate for my community. And that's why I'm here, and for the affiliates. I believe in the affiliates, and I believe community radio. I think it's a powerful apparatus which needs to really deal with the demands of the future.
Thanks, Bill. Next up would be Sue Goodwin, but I think Sue might have dropped off the call. Sue, I'll just quick introduction of Sue for the others. Sue is the staff director from WPFW. She's the interim news director at WPFW. She has a longstanding production background in radio, used to work on, I can't remember the name of the show, but the one that Neil Conan did on NPR. Any rate, and her husband is a comedian, and he's performing this evening, and that's why Sue had to join the call but had to drop off. Next up is Heather Gray. Heather?
Yes, I'm Heather Gray. I'm with WRG Radio Georgia in Atlanta. I've had a radio show called Just Peace since the early 1990s, and I've also served on the Pacifica National Board off and on for a number of years, actually. My work has been in civil and human rights. I'm also a writer. I used to work for Coretta Scott King in the 1980s, but most of my work, I was the director of the educating people on nonviolent social change. But most of my work has been with the Federation of Southern Cooperatives, which is the primary group in the country working with black farmers. I was director of communications there for 25 years. But my work, as I said, has been on civil and human rights. So I've been organizing actually across the South and really around the country. I observed the elections for Mandela in 1994 in South Africa.
but I'm also so appreciative of the work of community radio overall because, as I've probably said repeatedly in meetings, it is community radio that offers the voice and represents the voices of the work in civil rights and human rights in the United States. So I'm just thanking everyone for their work. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Dingman.
Yeah, Sue Goodwin was the co-host of Talk of the Nation, which was a very successful show on NPR for many years.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew someone knew the name of the show. Appreciate that. Next up would be Donna Grimes. Let me take a quick stab at introducing Donna, who's not here this evening. Donna's one of the people who had a little hospital visit. Donna's a listener member, director from WPFW. She's been involved in the programming committee at WPFW for a bunch of years and then more recently became part of the LSB. I don't really know how long she's been, other than that, part of PFW governance and has been on the PMB. This is her second year, I guess. And she works in basically civil rights for a religious organization. Next up would be me. I'm Julie Hewitt. I'm a WPFW listener director. I've been involved with WPFW, you know, kind of as an activist since 2012 when WPFW was a hot mess. Any rate, I've been on the LSB since 2016, and I've been on the PNB. This would be my third year on the PNB. I got my otherwise activist start as a graduate student when I helped try to organize for graduate students on the campus where I was a graduate student being recognized as employees. And so that was my union activism days. And so I very much appreciate unions. I work for the federal government. I've been a professor. I've also been a consultant. And I have my education is in economics. I have a PhD in economics. And there's probably something else that's interesting about me, and I just can't remember what it is right now. Avelia Jones, you're up.
Hello, I'm Avelia Jones. I'm a native of Jackson, Mississippi. I was born to the civil rights movement from Jackson State University, where I was born. Have been in California now for about 45 years. Was attracted to Pacifica because I thought this was the perfect vehicle for going into the community of African Americans and Hispanic Afro Americans and bridging and developing their interest in community radio. Of course, COVID came and that stopped me in that pursuit, and it stopped everybody else in their pursuits in general. Anyhow, so I feel all right about that. But now we're in a new time and I'm ready to jump in again and see what I can do to bring a greater diversity of people to radio, especially KPFK and the Pacifica Network. Have been a school teacher in the visual arts in the city of Los Angeles for 35 years. Thank you.
Sibelia. Next up is Ali Lexa. Ali.
Hi, I'm Ali Lexa. I'm staff rep from KPFK. I've been on and off the boards for about 10 years. Currently, I help with the upkeep of KPFK's website, the online archives, the stream, and podcast. I was the former union steward at the station for all the paid staff, union steward for the SAG-AFTRA union. And I'm currently working with several programs, helping them getting their podcasts out there and spread. Also helping many programs with their social media presence and helping them to improve their global presence. Thanks.
Julie, you're muted.
Yeah, thank you. Next up is Marianne Martinez.
Thank you, Julie. My name is, as Julie said, Marianne Martinez, and I've been associated with KPFT since, I guess, over 20 years, somewhere around the take back, 2000, maybe a little before. And my involvement included, well, in the beginning, you know, hashing out the bylaws, and then did various things at the station, including, you know, I worked on the community advisory board. I was the chair of the community advisory board and did that for a while. And my background is, I'm retired. I worked with the state of Texas, and I also worked as a teacher. And early EC through grade four. And then with the state, I was a, with the Texas Workforce Commission, I was a claims adjudicator and investigator for Texas Workforce Commission. So other than that, I do want to say this. I have a strong belief in our mission statement. And I think that that's something that we should always consider. So the main thing that's important to me is our mission statement, resolving conflict, avoiding war, and dialogue with each other in a peaceful and respectful manner.
Marianne, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thanks. James McFadden is next.
Hi, I'm James McFadden. I've been on the KPFA LSB for the last 4 years, and this is my second year on the PNB. My day job, when I'm not a timer for these PNB meetings, is I'm a research physicist at UC Berkeley and have been for the last 38 years. And I'm partly retired now and only work half time to maintain my experiment orbiting Mars. I've been involved in a lot of political stuff, for the last 15 years, and KPFA and, radio has been great. So in my opinion, you know, in this kind of time of crisis where we got climate change and wealth inequality and war and corporate rule, you know, to get involved and hope I can help Pacifica survive and be an alternate voice to the propaganda that we get out of corporate media nowadays. Thanks.
Arlene Pagano.
I am on the LSB at KPFA and as a staff member. I became a staff member via the apprenticeship program that KPFA has been running for about 27, 28 years now. And I was absolutely hooked on the station. I'd been listening to KPFA since the first day I arrived in town in November of 1975. I come from a large Italian-American Catholic family, seven of us. I'm the girl, but I am also the firstborn. Governance at KPFA, I was recruited into it, and out of that, I have also been asked to be the staff rep from KPFA for the PNB, and I got reelected this term, so this is my second time on the PNB, and it is an education and three quarters. So I have been deeply involved in political work since I was 17, and it has been the guiding light of my life, and I have no regrets about anything and everything it's ever cost me.
Darlene, your time is up.
Obviously, I love to talk. Okay, thank you.
All right. And I navigated away from my, Sean Rhodes is next. Sean.
Yes, I am Sean Rhodes. I am the staff director at WBAI. I am the co-host and engineer of the award-winning Midnight Ravers, which is a weekly music program heard Friday nights into Saturday morning, midnight to 2 a.m., and I've been involved in Pacifica governance since 1995, served on a variety of local and national committees. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. Next up is Jim Sagerton.
Hi, I'm James Sagerton. I'm a listener director from WBAI. I started as a volunteer, later moved into governance, been doing that for 8 to 10 years. I'm currently the chair of the Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee, the NFC, National Finance Committee. I'm a strong believer in the mission statement, specifically providing voices that are not heard otherwise or elsewhere in the same media. I believe in having a large mass audience that moves the needle in the national discussion. I have been a union factory worker. I've been a construction laborer. I am a farmer. I have a law degree, which I use to teach English at Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey. I'm not a lawyer, never have been. I worked for PeaceWorks, which is provides material aid to very poor people in Nicaragua. Also Omega, which is a Catholic charity, which does the same thing in the United States. One morphed into the other, and here we are. That's it. Thank you.
Next up is Sharon Salam.
I'm Sharon Salam, the mother of Yousef Salam from the Exonerated Five, and I've been associated with the station since 1989, and that was a time when very few places that I could go that would help get my message out, and I learned a great endurance for this particular network, these stations. Because when people need help, you need a place to go, and there are not many places out there. And I am committed to the success of the station. I'm finished. Somebody else can go.
Thanks. Aki Tanaka is next on the list. Would one of the, Darlene or someone from KPFA, like to at least give a rough introduction of Aki, who couldn't make it this evening because his wife had to make a trip to the hospital?
Yes, Aki is, Akio Tanaka is, has been involved in the governance at KPFA as a listener for a number of different terms over time. And I believe he also was the secretary of the PMB, for at least one term. He is, unfortunately, tonight with his wife in the emergency room here in Oakland, where he's an Oakland resident as well. And, yes, she was in a traffic accident. So that's all the information we have. Aki does not speak up often, but he's fabulous at note-taking and has stepped up to be the recording secretary of the PNB as a volunteer since we, unfortunately lost because we couldn't afford it anymore, our recording secretary. So he is like that. He's quiet. He thinks about things and he turns out the work. Probably a lot more could be said about Aki, but that's how I see him.
Thanks. Next up is Beth von Gunten.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I was first elected as a listener delegate to the KPFK LSB in December 2019 and to the PNB in December 2020. I'm famously not aligned with either faction. I have lots of previous experience on other boards, including local elected and appointed public offices, food cooperatives, regional and national boards of Witness for Peace, and others. I serve now on the PNB National Finance Committee, the National Personnel Committee, the National Strategic Planning Committee, National Tech Task Force, and I chair the National Development Task Force. And I've served as the PNB Vice Chair this past year, as well as attending a full range of all the local committee meetings. I've been a lifelong community organizer on a wide range of issues. These days I'm living in Ojai, California, in the coastal mountains, more than an hour west of Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Next up is Egberto Willis. Egberto?
I'm Egberto Willis from KPFT. I was born in Panama, Central America. First and foremost, I'm a political activist. I'm a mechanical engineering graduate from the University of Texas, Austin, a business owner, software developer, turned blogger, author, and radio host. I'm the producer and host of Politics Done Right on KPFT and on the internet. And I'm honored to serve with every single one of you. Thank you.
Thanks. And that's our relatively quick waltz through introducing each other. So now it would be appropriate.
Point of order. Arthur Schwartz wants to be.
Oh, yes, regular. Arthur. Go ahead. Go ahead, Arthur.
I mean, I'm not a member of the PNB, but I talk plenty of your meetings. So I thought there are some new people. So I've been, general counsel since December 2019. I've been a political activist since the 1960s. I've been a union and civil rights lawyer for, 43 years. I cut my teeth on representing union dissidents and reformers for many years, still do that. By the 1990s, many of them were winning union elections, and I became a union lawyer. Since the most important union I represent now is the Transit Union in New York City. It's a 46,000 member union of bus and subway workers, and I've represented them since 2001 as general counsel or special counsel. I thought I was leaving the labor movement in the late 2000s. I became general counsel of ACORN, which was once upon a time one of the more important community activist groups. I was there when they got destroyed by James O'Keefe, who I'm now in litigation with. I founded a nonprofit in 2011 along with some other lawyers, and that works alongside with the for-profit work I do with the unions. I produce a show on WBAI. I've been doing it since 2017, once a week, called Locating for Justice. And I also do political legal work. I was Bernie Sanders' lawyer in 2016 in New York, Jamani Williams when he ran for governor in the last election in New York, and Cynthia Nixon when she ran for governor in 2018, and many other people. And
I've been elected. Time is up.
That's it.
Chair.
Yeah, I was going to ask Stephanie if she wanted to also introduce herself.
And also the parliamentarian, if he's here.
He's not here. Go ahead, Stephanie.
My name is Stephanie Wells, and I've been the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation for a little over a year. It's about a year and 2 or 3 weeks. It's a pleasure, actually, to be here and to really just, I'm very confident in the upward trajectory of Pacifica and all of our divisions. And I'm very excited, actually, for what the next year holds, because I just see potential growth and a lot of opportunities. And the board has been very, very pleasant to work with a lot of people giving you know, giving me phone calls and have had a lot of open, honest discussions with people, and I appreciate everyone's input, so I'm happy to be here.
Thanks. So that's everybody here. Should we open the floor for nominations for a few minutes? Teresa, I see your hand. Go ahead. Teresa.
Muted. I nominate Julie Hewitt for chair. There, I said it again.
Thank you. I think the thing about nominations is it's, cause I spent a little time with Robert's rules earlier. You don't actually have to second nominations. And then the other thing that's true is that, if people want to decline, you'll get the opportunity to decline, at some point. But, right now we're not worried that that's not what we're trying to do. So we're just taking nominations. Okay. I recognize Teresa, Ali Alexa, go ahead.
We're at time on this item. We'd add 30 minutes.
We ended the 30 minutes of introductions, and now we're back to the agenda.
Yeah. Can we just, folks, can we add like 3 minutes for...
Move to add 5 minutes.
Thank you. Is there second. A
second?
Second.
Got it. Any objections to the motion to add 5? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Okay, Ali Alexa, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Akio Tanaka for secretary.
Thank you. Vanessa.
Although it's already been said, but because you are from my station, I want the pleasure of being able to nominate you also. Ditto to Teresa's nomination.
Thank you, Vanessa. Appreciate that.
I just have a quick point of information. I just want to know, for those people who are not attending today, will they have an opportunity to put their votes in?
They will have both the opportunity to nominate anyone up until midnight Saturday and also the opportunity to vote. So, yes, is the answer to your question, Sharon. Fred, I see your hand.
Yes, this is my first meeting, so now are we nominating people to commissions?
I'm sorry,
are we nominating people to commissions?
Oh, no, to committees.
Then I lower my hand.
Okay. The three,
I will renominate Aki. I think he's a really good man. He's from KPFA. He, unlike so many people that we've met in our lives, is well grounded and polite and very, very meticulous.
Thank you. There are three positions that we're voting for, or officer positions: chair, vice chair, and secretary. So,
chair, request for information, James.
Yeah, go ahead, Segerton.
Yeah, I know you're not well, but I think you just said nominations open until Saturday night. But didn't we decide open until Thursday night?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely.
No worries.
You're right.
No worries. Thank you.
That is correct. Yeah, I don't know where I got that from. You know what? I got it from looking at the calendar is where I got it from. But my notes are not on the calendar. My notes are on this piece of paper over here. Okay. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, we are nominating for vice chair, right?
Vice chair as well.
I have not talked to this person about this at all, but tonight in our meeting, I found this person to be quite reasonable, and I think they would be a good vice chair, and I'd like to nominate Ali Alexa if he'll accept that.
I would decline.
Thank you.
Declined. Thank you for your vote of confidence, though.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, the point is that we have and just to be clear for everybody, the chair and the vice chair must be directors, but the secretary can be a non-director. So, you know, it could be anyone affiliated with your station, et cetera. So that's the distinction there. So And yes, a reminder that we'll send an email out so that everybody sees the motion that we passed with the dates in it. And also basically Terry Goodman will run the elections, you know, using the teller approach. And so you'll get an email with the ballot, but not until after the nominations close, which is midnight on February 9th. So, okay. Next item on the agenda is the ED report and Q&A, and that's a 30-minute item. Stephanie, would you like to give an open session report?
Yes, thank you. I don't think I'll need the full 30 minutes, but it might be with the Q&A. I sent everything, I sent out to everybody today, or Paulina sent it out for me. Thank you. Just a very brief summary of the payments that we were able to make from the FJC line of credit that we received. And we had not the entire amount of credit transferred over, but we had just a portion of it. And with that, we were able to make the health benefit payments that had been behind for all of the divisions. Well, not KPFA, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. But the health benefit payments for the affiliate network, the national office, WPFW, WBAI, KPFK, and the archives. KPFA pays their own insurance, not through the same DC Health Link or Kaiser or the things that we have. We were also able to pay the general liability and umbrella insurance for buildings and, you know, some structural insurance that we needed, Sun Life insurance, dental insurance for all of the units. And then we were also able to pay a for-purpose law group past due bill as well. We still have funding that's available. We didn't pull it to bring it over yet. That's still in the process of we're just letting FJC hold that, and then we can just pull down when we need it. And what we want to set aside is the interest payment that is due in March. And then they have already pulled out the interest payment that was due in December. So there's not an exorbitant amount of money that is left over from the line of credit that we had. So there's not a lot of the bills that we had hoped to pay that we would be able to pay. But we are still sort of now looking at some of making partial payments to certain vendors and other individuals as well that need payment. So that was, that felt good actually to be able to get caught up on a lot of those bills. The Cahuenga Boulevard, the KPFK archive building is officially listed as of later this afternoon. There are a couple of interested parties already that have contacted the brokers, and I believe that they will be heading over there over the next couple of days for a tour. So I'll be meeting the broker there and any potential buyers so they could look through. I attached on the ED report, the hard copy, the brochure that the broker has created, just so everybody can kind of take a look at it. There will also be a online presence of the building as well, and a virtual walkthrough. They haven't created that yet, but they did all the photography of that last week. There's a kind of a rough approximation of expenditures from the sale that is also in the ED report. You know, as I said, what we're hoping to do with the, if and when that building sells, is to be able to repay the money that was taken in the lien, repay that to KPFA. Our big priority is to pay off the FJC loan, and then have a significant amount also that we would set aside for KPFK and the archives for moving expenses, operational support for the time moving forward, and then any sort of build out or something that we may have for a new facility. If anybody has any questions, happy to take them.
James has a question.
All right, I got you, James. I see three hands in front of you. Fred, Jim, Adriana, Sagerton, then Ali. Go ahead, Fred.
Two questions. Do we have any insurance for the directors? And I would assume, and perhaps I'm incorrect, that the LA station could not be sold without the loan, the party that has the loan releasing that unless they have been paid off.
The director and officer's insurance has been paid. We were able to actually pay off a section of that prior to even receiving some of the funding that we received from this line of credit. So the director's and officer's insurance has been paid. Excellent. The selling of the building was already discussed and pre-approved with FJC.
Excellent. Thank you.
Dingman, you're next.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Several questions. First of all, how has the fundraising been going at all the different stations in the past 2 months? Secondly, first, let's start with that. Thank you.
It's been going well. You know, obviously fundraising can always get better, but it's been going well. We haven't had any issue or concern with meeting payroll or even trying to catch up again on some of the bills. So money is being raised. We've had a couple of, I just had a conversation with a community foundation in San Francisco that was going to be looking to make a grant to KPFA. So we had some paperwork to fill out with that so we can make sure those funds are restricted to goes, you know, only to KPFA. So it's, fundraising is on the upward move.
Okay. The second question would be, when does the EIDL loan start to have to be paid off? That's the other, what's the amount? 2.2 million on that one?
I believe it is. I think that others probably have more information on that than I that could answer that, possibly Arthur or Julie. I believe the payments payback on that doesn't have to happen until 24 or 25, but I easily can be corrected on that.
The original the maximum balance you could, or the maximum loan amount we qualified for was $2 million. We took EIDL loan funds at basically three different points, and it was at that last point, which was sometime in 2022, I think, early 2022, where we went up to the maximum of $2 million, and I believe it is 2024 when the loan repayments start.
All right, last question.
And then they're 35, it's 35 years.
Yes. 35
years. Okay, and what's the outstanding payable number now? Not talking about that long-term issue of all the central services not being paid, but I'm talking about that $1.4 million number. Where are we at with that number right now?
It is at approximately right now about 1.6.
Okay. Adriana?
Yes, thank you. First of all, you know, I cannot ask some of the questions because information that I don't have, but I heard about the $2 million loan. Is the KPFK building, that is the first question, is the KPFA building like, you know, is behind that or not? Or we can sell it and we don't need to pay that $2 million?
Can I, do you want me to answer?
Go ahead, Arthur.
Sure.
So the agreement we have is that we'll discuss it. They're going to want, because FJC has a mortgage on KPFA's property, KPFT's property, and KPFK's property. And they will, the value of those gives them about a 3 or 4 to 1, security interest on what we owe them. So they're willing to discuss it. That they're not demanding a total payback. We have to decide whether we want to do that when the building is sold. And we then discuss it with them. So, and just for example, when we sold the, for those that don't know, when we sold the building in Houston, we sold it for about $1.2 million and we paid FJC $350, which let KPFT spend the rest of the money both on buying a new building and building it out, which has gone, you know, we still have $20,000 or $30,000. I've had to write the checks for it, left, but it worked really well.
Yes, thank you. But you are talking about the $2 million that Julie just explained.
The EIDL loan.
Oh, the EIDL loan?
Yes, that was the question.
I'm not sure that they have a mortgage on KPFT, a KPFK. I would make it known to them. They did have to have a survey of all of our property when we applied for that loan. And we'll have to make it known to them that, but I don't think they're going to require, that we repay that. We do have it. It's 35 years and it's at a fixed, very low interest rate.
I know. That's why, I don't know. I want to have that certainty because somebody told me that building was, you know, the one that's why we have it. I mean, and if it's like that, I want to be sure. I don't want we selling, the building like you are saying now. And then we pay, we have no house. And if we need to repay that loan, I want to have the information first. I think that it's important to have the, I don't know, but I'm asking for the document to review it. That is the first thing. Thank you. And the second question is for Stephanie. In what you gave us, the expenses, I can see $1,650,000 said KPFK and archives moving and operational support. We are talking about that money will be just to move them where? To a rental place? And after that will be, do we know what will happen? Because when we the KPFT building was sold, some of that money was keep aside to have another property. I don't want, or I'm worried about KPFK and the archives not having a house and being in the same situation that New York, that is really punished, you know, because they don't have a building.
Your time is up.
I'm sorry, Heather, thank you very much, but I heard other people talking about a bunch of issues and nobody put a limit. I don't know.
Adriana, that's because everybody else stayed within the time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stephanie. You can answer Adriana's question.
Yes, I'm going to be working very closely with the National Finance Committee and also people from KPFK and some of the other stations that have gone through a move already to determine what is the best point moving forward for relocating the building and relocating KPFK and the archives. What we want to do is put enough money aside that it isn't that they have operational support. So that dollar amount that you read out is for operational support while they, you know, after they have moved, so we can make sure that we have staffing, you know, the salaries covered, that we have the bills that are covered that need to be. We have set aside money for rent. I do not know what that will be yet. We're working with the brokers to do an assessment of locations where individuals at the station live so we can try to do a map to make sure that people aren't traveling, you know, a long way. We're still very much in the early stages with that. That money also includes any sort of moving expenses, cleaning out of moving expenses of getting things that we need moved to a new location. If there's anything that needs to be put into storage, if there's something that's temporary, we can do that. And also the cleaning out of the building as it is, because there will be, unless the people that are moving in are willing to take it as is, there's quite a bit of cleaning that needs to do at the facility before it's move-in ready for someone else. We're also, the brokers are also working, as we discuss with any sort of potential any potential buyer, of the possibility of letting us, you know, letting KPFK and letting us stay and we're renting the facility from them. And then, you know, that person then becomes sort of our property owner and they can make the repairs and fixes that need to be done. That is not something that is definite, but we're looking at as many options as we possibly can to make any sort of move and transition as quickly, I mean, as easy as possible, but not as quickly as possible. We want to take our time with this and we want to make sure that we do it correctly. And we take into consideration all the needs of the building, the needs of the employees, and that we make sure that this move is makes sense.
Thanks. Sagerton, you're up. Then I'll leave. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you. Hi, Stephanie. Two quick questions. You had mentioned as a possibility some relief from central services for a period of time. Based on the sale price of the building, is that actually going to be possible, or is that, it seemed to me at the time it might be I understood the motivation of it, but maybe it wasn't going to be possible. So that's my first question. Have you done any more thinking on that?
No, I mean, I have done a lot of thinking on it, but I really, and I stated in the I have it written down kind of in the paragraph of the ED report, is that I don't really think there's going to be enough funds remaining from the sale to make partial payments to the, you know, a lot of our past due payables, nor really have the ability to set aside that 6 months to 1 year's worth of central service payments to both the National's office and the archives. There's just a really quick breakdown of the approximation of expenditures from the sale and just from the, you know, again, very approximation of those expenditures, it only remains, you know, about $100,000 from the sale. So that will be, you know, hoping that there will be individuals that will be willing to sort of work on this project as well as the National Finance Committee, you know, that we can just take a really close look at this and see, okay, what do we need to do here?
Got it. Yeah, that sounds prudent. I appreciate that. The second question I had was, there was some discussion of relocating the archives to one of the USCs. Is that still an ongoing negotiation, or what's going on with that, if anything?
Well, the archives has been in contact for quite some time. Regarding not so much relocating them. I mean, that would be one thing that we want to take a close look at. And I have been in conversations with Mark regarding the moving of that. The conversation that we have had is with work that they have done with, conversations that they've had with USC and working in partnership with USC in order to work together to transfer the tapes and to digitize them. So, I mean, there's also, of course, UCSB, there's UCLA, it's just something that could kind of help with the storage, but the cost roughly to digitize is $250 a tape. And so with the amount of tapes that we have, it's close to about $10 million in order to digitize the entire archives and things that need to be redone. USC had said that they would charge $16 a tape, which then would bring the cost down to about $1 million. And their plan would be to complete that process within 2 years through their Department of Library Sciences. And a lot of the metadata input would be done by students that are working on their master's program, and they would do that for free. So we're still kind of looking into that possibility. It's really, again, the funding to try to get that. And then one of the things that USC had talked about quite a few, you know, when this conversation first started with Mark and folks over at the Library Science Department, is that they would load, because the metadata needs to be loaded into supercomputers. And so USC actually has a 4,000 square foot computer that's capable of holding the data. And then there would be a yearly fee. That would be, they would also store the archives not only in their supercomputer, but also backed up at the University of South Carolina. And then we would own the copyrights, obviously, to all of those. But then part of the deal was that USC would be able to use the materials only for educational purposes at a time. I mean, for educational purposes. But they only really have the space to do 5,000 tapes at a time. And we have roughly about 50,000 tapes that need to be digitized. So there's a lot of moving parts to it that are just a lot of conversations and trying to work that all out. But that was a long answer to your question. Yes, we are looking to try to store things, but to digitize them in order to store them properly.
Well, one quick follow-up, Chair, please.
Quick.
Yeah. Stephanie, what I was really trying to get, and I appreciate that long answer, was thorough. I appreciate it, although I know there's a lot of balls still up in the air. Will we need to physically relocate some of the archives, and if so, do we have an idea of where we would do that to? I realize you want to get as much of it digitized as possible to reduce that necessity, but where would they go? And I realize, again, a lot of balls are still in the air.
Well, one of the things we've talked to the brokers about as well is keeping the archives where they are, and the archives would mm-hmm. stay in the building and just become, you know, a tenant of that building. And then that would save, because that whole area where the tapes are is just this big refrigerated unit, and it's, you know, there would be a lot of work that somebody would need to do to get rid of that refrigerated unit or kind of rebuild that section of the building. And the archives are kind of, you know, have their own little section within that building that they could easily stay there for a while. So we really are trying to negotiate. And again, there isn't any seller or, I mean, any buyer that we're at that point where we're having these conversations, but these are conversations that we've had with the broker so that when they're talking to potential buyers, they can say these things as options, you know, oh, you may be interested, but this part of the building needs to stay, or what do you think of having a tenant, those kind of things. So well, we're just kind of feeling it out at this point.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Ali's next.
Okay, I have two questions for Stephanie, but I'm wondering if it's okay if I make a quick nomination for vice chair before I ask her.
Sure, go ahead.
Beth Van Gooden?
Thanks, Ali.
Okay. Stephanie, you said that the building is listed now. Can you tell us what the asking price is that's being listed at?
Yes, it is being listed at $4,995,000.
$4,999.
Okay. Yep. And attached to the ED report, if you haven't had a chance to open it up, is the brochure that shares all of that.
Okay, I didn't open it yet because
no problem. So it's it's a 13,640 square foot building on 14,374 square feet of land, 18 parking spaces, and there's some nice aerial images and internal images of the building.
Cool. Does that also show which brokerage or listing company that it's being on?
Yes, it does. And the company is JLL.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Fred.
Two things shortly. Stephanie, can you make sure that I receive the ED report, because I have not received it yet. I'm new on the list. And the second thing, my ears pricked up when I heard this comment about community services or community central services or something like that, and that there's a lot of money that's owed to this central services, and I'd like to know who or what or what's owed to central services, and is that going to get paid off?
Central service, past due central service payments right now are so huge. There's no way some of the divisions will be able to ever pay those off. Currently, KPFT and the KPFT and the affiliates are the only groups paying central services.
Wow.
You just muted, Fred.
KPFA is not paying its share?
Not recently.
Wow. Okay. And when you say the numbers are so large, what are we talking about? 500,000, 300,000, a million?
Close to, I'll pull up the spreadsheet, but yeah, we're.
Or you could send it to me. That would be fine.
Yeah. Happy to do that, Fred. No problem.
Thank you.
Dingaman, you're next.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. What kind of
Chair, can we have Stephanie to send that to everybody, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Stephanie. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Okay. What kind of space are you thinking of acquiring? Because I'm looking at the specs here. I remember about a couple months ago, somebody actually gave me the square footage. A huge facility, about 11,000-12,000 square feet. So what are you thinking in terms of space to move the station in? And secondly, you know, there's a lot of raw feeling about this, and I'm just wondering what your response is to the scenario that some are coming up with and saying, well, this can't happen because there must be some ways to raise other money to compensate for the problems we're facing. I'm wondering what your response to that argument is.
Well, we have, as far as what kind of space I'm looking at, that's where I'm hoping to garner the expertise of individuals who are at the station, who work in stations, have a general idea of what is needed and what isn't needed, because that is not a decision that I want to make on my own. And I want to have as much input as possible from people that are experts and have lived and worked in radio for years. That is not me. I've talked quite a bit with WPFW, who has had quite a few moves and are in the process right now of looking at another building. They're downsizing and saving rent, going from $16,000 a month in rent down to $5,000 a month in rent. So we're actively looking at what's needed, what do you want versus what you need. Also talking quite a bit with KPFT, who just went through this quite successfully. And so, you know, that's what I'm looking at right now, to really figure out what we need. We were fortunate enough to be able to, they found the original blueprints for the building for KPFK. So that's kind of given us, you know, again, a general better idea as to what's used, what's not used. And, you know, as far as, you know, the funding, it's very difficult for change in general. It's very difficult for any sort of idea of moving, but I look at it as a fresh start. And this is, you know, wonderful that we can start wherever that new place may be, in something clean, something new, something that we, you know, isn't over too big for us. A fresh start where we can put in rooms that we need or equipment that we need and really build it in and build it out and cater to the needs that we have. Is it, you know, is it unfortunate? It's unfortunate that we're in kind of that we're in a financial situation where we have to look at things like this in order to just help us fund what we need to do to bring Pacifica to a new place. We need money for social media. We need money for, you know, better development, for development of programs. You know, we need that funding. We have outstanding payments to services that are vital to us, but we just do not even have the money to pay for it. We can't continue to just go from trying to pay paycheck to paycheck. You know, it's like living from paycheck to paycheck, where we're going, where we're trying to live from payroll to payroll. And that's just not a way to run a company. My concern is that there will not be enough money from the sale of this property in order to take us to the level that we need. But this is just sort of a bridge to get us where we need to go. And then we're still going to have to try to figure out what are we going to do to be able to move forward. I'm hoping too that this will be just an influx of enthusiasm for KPFK. And, you know, we have this with as far as promotion, we have a new home, you know, we're starting fresh. So it's all how we sort of, you know, portray this to the public. you know, I view any sort of move and change and cleaning as a positive PR.
Next up is Adriana.
Yes, thank you. I cannot, I mean, just looking at the report is the only thing that I have in front of me, but I asked before for some documentation, and I understand that the chair is she doesn't have all the information, and she's not, you know, she's a volunteer like all of us. I will hope that the council and Stephanie, maybe you can send some of the information that I request, because I know that I cannot be, I'm blinded, you know, I don't understand. For the only report that I can see here, the only numbers that can I see, we are sacrificing a building for not that much payment. Will be not money for almost anything. And the second, that is the question for Stephanie and for Arthur, if they can send the information that they have without going to the chair. And the other thing, is any way that you can tell us how much are being, because you say that only KPFT and the archives are paying central services. It means that all the others are not. Is any way that you can have the numbers, how much is being owed? I mean, because obviously, I saw a bunch of reports about KPFK going up, you know, they have better fund drives, better membership, whatever, but I want to see some numbers. Where we can see these numbers? How can this number be sent to me? And can you give me just in approximate amount that how much is being owed for every station from central services?
Chair, we're at time on this.
Yes, I will send those numbers out. As I said earlier, that I would go ahead and do that. Roughly a rough idea of the unpaid central services. And this was numbers that we had that we pulled in December, as of December 15th, 2022, the total unpaid central services to the national office was $1.5 million. And the unpaid central services to the archives, it was the affiliates that I said that has been paying their central services, not the archives. The archives actually get central service payments. The unpaid central services to the archives as of December 15th, 2022 was $400,000. So in December 15th of 2022, the total aged payables, which included unpaid fiscal year to date central services to the national office and the archives, was $3.1 million.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can send that information that I asked, I will send the details, that information that I need that maybe you have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Next up is the general counsel report and Q&A. Arthur, I don't know if you have an open session report to offer.
No, nothing. I'll have something to say in the closed session, but not in the open.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, maybe I should just say something, because
go ahead.
New board members, right? So, we have three open pieces of litigation going on. One is at KPFA, is a sexual harassment retaliation claim by a former, staff worker who says he was sexually harassed by the news director. So that's being litigated in state court in Oakland. We have a lawsuit involving John Verniel, the one which caused $300,000 to be taken out of the KPFA bank account. That's in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. I filed a brief appealing the judgment against us back around December 9th, and Verniel's lawyer just filed his brief on Monday. This past Monday, mine is due 21 days later, and then we will argue it at some point later in the year. Really, I don't know when the Court of Appeals will schedule it. And that appeal, which is a de novo, the way that the court frames it is a de novo reconsideration of what the lower court did, which was to affirm the arbitration award that said Verniel was properly fired, but he was slandered. It's de novo, so people should know that, and there's the potential to reverse it and get the money back. And then the third lawsuit we have is litigation between New Day Pacifica and Pacifica. There are three issues in that case. One is whether the New Day bylaw proposals that were voted on in the spring and early summer of 2021, were passed, right? We're waiting for it. And then there's a second issue is whether there were four people, one who's now deceased, who were disqualified from winning the 2021 KPFA LSB election. So that's being litigated, whether that was right or wrong. And then there's a third claim. New Day says that it's entitled to access to the Pacifica mailing list to solicit money to sue Pacifica. They say that they're entitled to that under the California Corporation Law and the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So those three issues are in court. We're waiting for a decision on an argument we had about 2 weeks ago. The judge said he'd probably get it to us this week. We haven't heard anything yet. It may go to trial, or we may get a decision deciding all the issues. So those are the three open lawsuits.
Adriana?
Yeah, thank you, Arthur. You mentioned the New Day versus Pacifica. Do we have any New Day people in our boards?
Plenty.
In the PMB?
Many. I don't know who's affiliated with what. I know Akio was one of their candidates for to be some position in that referendum, but there's no plaintiffs. There are no there's nobody in the law whose name is in the lawsuit who's on the board.
And I'd like to state clearly that I am not a New Day member.
Thank you.
I didn't think so.
And I don't know that Darlene is, and I don't know that Aki is.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. If you don't
That's
mind,
a point I of personal privilege.
Because Arthur, I was asking you something specifically, and you said that plenty. I remember seeing at some point in time that Aki Tanaka was the secretary of New Day. I hope that, well, we will ask him. That's okay.
And I thought we were bringing up people's names in that fashion.
Yeah, and I've allowed crosstalk, and I'm very sorry about that, but that's partly because it's 11 p.m.
Yes.
Questions for Arthur? No more questions? All right, thank you, Arthur.
Can Arthur send me some of the information, some of the documents that I already asked? Can you send it directly? Because we know that the chair has so many things to do and is a volunteer too.
The documents you asked for before?
Yes. I send the list.
If I have them.
I will send it to you too, and whatever you have, please. Okay. Thank you.
We have items on the agenda for unfinished business and new business, but I don't think we have anything there other than, again, the placeholder for the item that we need to not forget about, but has to carry along. And so then I would argue that we're at item 9, which is a motion to move into executive session. So one thing that's true about the executive session, which is I was hoping that I would at least get a quorum of signed NDAs so that, you know, I could agree that there was at least a quorum of people to hold a closed session this evening.
Point of information, you got mine, I assume?
Yes. I have yours, Fred. I have a lot of them, and I do want to say very much thank you to everyone who was able to fill the form out and send it back to me or Aki as chair and secretary pro tem. I have 11, which is half, but not quite a quorum. Arthur, there's stuff that you might want to talk about in closed session, and I guess you know, what I was really hoping to do was to, you know, use having or not having a closed session this evening as an inducement for people to fill out the form and send it in. But I can't, I apologize for having a cold, but you know, that's part of the point of going back out in the world, right? You get on the subway, you're going to get a cold someday. And so I can't be 100% positive that I've, you know, made note of everybody who sent in their signed NDA. But Arthur, do you feel comfortable holding a closed session and talking about, and or Stephanie, holding a closed session, even though we don't have signed NDAs from everybody yet?
As long as everybody understands that, that what goes on here is the reason it's moved here is because it's confidential information. And we have had problems with that in the past where I've said something and half an hour later I get an email about it from somebody outside the meeting. And the only thing I want to talk about is a personnel situation, and which is particularly confidential. So.
Yeah. Okay.
People have to understand that. I don't distrust anybody. This question got raised, I don't know who's affiliated with who. I don't care. It doesn't really bother me.
Thanks. Then I'm okay with going into closed session. Even though it means I'm going back on my, you can't come to closed session if you don't send in the form. However, starting next week, I'm not going to allow people in a closed session unless they've signed their NDA. And I recognize there wasn't much time from Tuesday night to tonight to get an NDA signed and submitted. But certainly there shouldn't be anyone who can't, you know, it's a simple form. There shouldn't be anyone who can't pull this off in the course of a week. So I'd like everybody to make it a priority for next week. And I think I will sort of really seriously not let people in the closed session if they haven't signed their NDAs. I see two hands, Ali and Beth. Go ahead, Ali.
Unmute.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you got my NDA, but it's not important.
Yes, I do have yours.
Okay. Okay, great.
Thanks. Beth?
Yes, sorry, am I unmuted?
Yes.
You're unmuted.
Okay. I have to flip through two pages to see whether I am or not. Sorry. Yes, I have a belated question for Stephanie, if I may.
And it's an open session question. Yeah, it's an open session question.
If there's discussion beyond what's permissible in open session, then we can take it up again in closed session. But I'm finding the listing price for the KPFK building. I'm concerned that that price may be a binding offer, which can be accepted and result in a binding contract. And a listing price of less than $5 million is alarming. I had expected that the building would be listed for significantly more than that and would likely be snapped up at that. It's not clear to me how that price was settled on or why there hasn't been more discussion, why that wasn't brought to the PNB as a proposal for approval before moving ahead. And so I don't know, maybe further discussion does belong in closed session. I wanted to get the questions on the table. I'd like to move to delay listing it until we can discuss this further. Less than $5,000 just seems inordinately low to me.
Can I respond?
Yeah, go ahead, Arthur.
You know, first of all, the appraisal of that value has been repeated to the board for like the last 6 months, repeatedly. So if you had an expectation of it being greater than that, I'm not sure what it's based on. Second of all, it's listed, it's live, it's out there. I found it myself tonight easily. The brokers who are top notch people in LA, looked at all of the comparables, and what the market could bring, and chose that price in consultation with Stephanie, who talked to me about it, and given the appraisal that we had before, it's wholly within line of what number seems reasonable. And to say we were going to take it off the market, what should we then get into litigation with the broker, try to void their contract, which this board authorized Stephanie to enter into after consultation with me, would be sense.
Thanks. I see more hands up, and I'm just I thought we were about to move into closed session, so I understand what Beth's point was, but Adrian, is it important?
Yes, because I'm sorry, but what's always customary that the PNB is the one we have at least normally for three different appraisals, and it's the obviously I'm very sorry, and I don't want to sound disrespectful, but the executive director and the council are just executive director and council, but the one that gives the directives is the or the final approval is the PNB. I'm very sorry, but what I just heard is that even Beth, that is from that area, feels surprised about it. I'm really worried. I'm speechless. I don't know. I want to have more information before we go ahead with this. I mean, police, I need to have the information. Employees and councils are just that, employees and council, but the PMB is the one
that's the question.
Adriana,
exactly.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. So
the point, Adriana, is that the PMB authorized Stephanie to enter into a contract. Stephanie is not authorized to accept an offer. That will come back to the PNB. And if somebody comes in with a lowball offer, I feel fairly certain the board would, you know, reject that offer. Time will tell, depends, right? But, we're in the driver's seat when it comes to actually selling the building.
Thank you.
Wanted to make sure that you knew that. Dingman, what is it?
Can I say that? Good. That's exactly what happened in Texas.
Right.
There was an offer that the ED brought back, and the board said no, and then we got more.
That's right. So.
Madam Chair, this can be clarified in executive session. This issue.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Sorry. Go ahead.
It can be clarified with Ms. Casaneve in executive session.
Yes. Yes. Is there a motion to move into executive session?
Can the secretary speak one moment?
Yes.
I have a correction. It was bothering me about the numbers adding up. The vote we took, which was the use of tellers, we had 9 no's as reported. We had 6 yeses as reported, but we had 3 abstentions, not 2. That's it. My correction.
Thank you, Darlene. Appreciate that. Thank you for clarifying that while we were still in open session. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to move into closed session?
Just a question. We stay here? Let me how we will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You just stay here. What we'll wind up doing is cutting the stream. And okay. So then the world can't hear us. Okay. So let me once again ask, are there any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none, we'll move into executive session at 11:16 p.m. Thank you, Polina. If you could please cut the stream.